Well, despite the loud outcry over Rio Tinto's blasting of the Juukan Caves, the WA government has now approved the destruction of even more ancient Aboriginal sites in the Pilbara region. Just 5 days after the 46,000-year-old rock shelters were reduced to rubble by Rio Tinto, the Western Australian Aboriginal Affairs Minister and Treasurer Ben Wyatt granted BHP permission to destroy at least 40 Aboriginal heritage sites to make way for its new $4.5 billion South Flank iron ore mine. One of the sites slated for destruction is the Judjaling Range, which includes a series of shelters which show evidence of at least 35,000 years of human occupation. Robin Chappell is the WA Greens MLC. He's been following the stories around development and Indigenous sites for many years now. Robin Chappell, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
It does seem remarkable that in the midst of this outcry over Juukan Gorge, Ben Wyatt, the minister, has approved the destruction of more ancient caves with cultural significance. What can you tell us about these sites in the Judjaling Range, how significant they are and why?
Look, the whole area between Tom Price and Newman is the raised Hamersley Range escarpment, which contains a lot of iron ore. But it's also, by its very nature, one of the few places where it had a lot of cave systems, which meant there was a high degree of population and living in that area. Some of the caves, as we know, date back 60,000 years. Now, in many cases, the dating we've got on these caves is just provisional. We need to go a lot deeper. And we are now talking about being able to track humanity back about 70,000 years in Australia.
Okay,
so these are incredibly important.
Important, but not important enough, it would seem, for the traditional owners of this area, the Banjima people, to object to the Section 18 notice under the state's Aboriginal Heritage Act. That's the Section 18 is the notice that allows sites of high cultural value to be mined. Why wouldn't the traditional owners have objected? And if they're not objecting, perhaps they're not as significant, these sites, as we're suggesting here.
Well, they're not allowed to object. That's the problem.
Why?
Most of the mining corporations establish agreements with traditional owners, which are contracts. And in those contracts, it says, if we agree to mine this broad area, you know, we're talking 100 square kilometres, we will give you a financial compensation, but you are prohibited from making any negative comment about our development. But when those agreements are established, very little is known about what's in the area. So there are then surveys carried out which establish the value of some particular areas. But because they've already signed the agreement, they cannot oppose the Section 18s.
We did seek an interview with the traditional owners. We haven't been able to secure that yet. But it is understood that the traditional owners did mention some concerns when this application was being considered by the committee that considers these applications. Mind you, as we've pointed out before in our coverage of the Juukan Gorge destruction, this committee has never said no to any application from a mining company, as I understand it.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem with the department. It seems to work more as a conduit for the mining industry than actually there to protect native title issues or indeed the wishes of traditional owners. Now, quite clearly, I haven't seen any of the documents, but it is out there as far as I'm aware, and I do work with all those communities out there, that there is a great deal of concern that consistently we continue to lose archaeological site after archaeological site till the point where there's going to be nothing left. And this is humanity's the dawning of humanity in this area.
The application, the BHP application, is for at least 40 sites, the destruction of at least 40 sites. We've mentioned the Judjaling site. Do you know anything about any of the other sites? Can you tell us about any of the other archaeological features?
Yeah, look, I visited a large number of caves through that area. I'm a bit older now, so I don't trundle around as much as I used to. But I've walked hundreds of kilometres over these areas. And there are a lot of caves which have never been entered into, still have archaeological material in them, and where the sort of living places of the community. Some of them are quite large. I mean, larger than most houses. And they have on the floor of the cave detritus material and earth that have accumulated over thousands of years. And what you do is you actually create a classic Egyptian-style dig in the cave, go down through this material, and you're going down through the years until eventually, using carbon dating and other new technology, you identify the dates. I mean, with the Juukan Caves, we were finding hair belts in the Juukan Cave, which were about 20,000 years. We have to remember that the earliest archaeology in Europe is most probably the Lascaux Caves, which dated around about 27,000 years. Here in Australia, we've got archaeology that pushes back to literally the dawning of humanity globally. And we treat it with absolute disdain. Cave after cave, archaeological site after archaeological site is destroyed. When we come to the Burrup Peninsula, there we've destroyed over 10,000 carvings with impunity, and they all got Section 18s.
According to the State Minister, Ben White, the Treasurer, in his statement to us, he is cognizant of the limitations of the Section 18 Act. In fact, I've discussed this with you before. There are moves afoot by the Minister to try and get that Act changed. But he does say that he's asked BHP to work with Banjima people to do what it can to minimise the impact of this site. Is that the best way forward, given the traditional owners and these mining companies do work together? There's a lot of employment offered to the traditional owners that they want and need. And, you know, the economy generally wants and needs the dollars from mining. Is that the best way forward for a better collaborative relationship between the two? And how would you describe that relationship as you've seen it?
Look, the relationship has developed over many years, and in some cases it's really good. But here we know that the traditional owners, notwithstanding the agreement they established many, many years ago with BHP, are now genuinely concerned about their sites. The problem is that even whether you scrap Section 18 or not, the agreements that are established in the very early days of the mining industry with the traditional owners was said, you cannot complain. So it's not going to be any different whether you get rid of Section 18 or not. Also, I find it really ironic that the minister on the 29th of May gave permission to BHP to destroy everything under the Section 18. And now, because of Juukan Cave, he's saying, oh, well, look, I didn't really mean it. Please, can you try and avoid some of these? Well, if he wanted the sites avoided, he shouldn't have signed off on the Section 18.
Okay, but the minister also makes the point in that statement I keep referring to, that, and I'm just going to read you a bit. He said, as a Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, I want to see impacts to Aboriginal sites limited to the practical extent possible, but I am also a great believer in self-determination for Aboriginal people and support native title groups using their hard-won rights to make commercial agreements with land users. He's cautious about governments interfering in private negotiations by registered native title holders. I mean, is this fair enough, that this should be left to be a commercial decision made by the traditional owners?
Yes and no. Sorry, that's a political answer. Certainly, it is the right of Indigenous communities, traditional owners, to establish arrangements with mining corporations for economic compensation for the destruction of their sites. The problem is that invariably, when it comes to the traditional owners, we actually have a situation where these agreements are incredibly complex, many thousands of pages, and are handed out to people who do not necessarily have the technical capability to understand the implications.
And well, yeah, but hang on, just even that language there, does that sound paternalistic? To quote the minister again, Ben White, Australia has a sad history of governments deciding what's in the best interests of Aboriginal people?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'd worked back in the 70s in the whole outstation movement with Gough Whitlam. So, when it goes back to the history, we have been paternalistic. But the problem here is that the mining industry, a very, very well-financed organisation with solicitors going as long as your arm, can establish these agreements in such a way. I mean, I was talking to an archaeologist literally yesterday who said quite often a mining company will come along and during an exploration stage, when they're not proposing to do anything, and say, well, sign here, we're only going to explore, this absolves us from doing Section 18s, whatever. And then eventually the mine starts and everybody goes, oh, this is much bigger than we thought it was going to be. This is going to be impacting our sites. It is the problem of the way the industry over many, many years has manipulated the system to the point where, unfortunately, Aboriginal people's interests, and we know now that indeed the Bunjumna in this case were genuinely concerned. They had written to the ACMC outlining their concerns, but they couldn't oppose the development. Also, we've got to remember the Aboriginal Heritage Act gives appeal rights to the mining corporations, but not to the traditional owners.
All right, you're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is WA Greens MLC Robin Chappell. The State Heritage Act is being reviewed by the minister. What about the federal realm? Just 2 days ago, the Federal Indigenous Affairs Minister Ken Wyatt declared that no Aboriginal site should ever be damaged after Rio Tinto destroyed the Juukan Caves. Let's listen to the minister on ABC News 24.
We have to watch every other site that exists within that Pilbara region. And I would urge elders to make sure that they check on those sites to ensure that there is no further damage done in the Pilbara, because some of those other sites are 60,000 years plus old and we can't afford to have any more damage. Enough has been done already.
That's the Federal Indigenous Affairs Minister Ken Wyatt, who's ordered an urgent review of state and federal heritage protection laws, saying the current system isn't good enough. Is it up to the federal government here to provide the overarching architecture to change this?
They do have some capability under the EPBC Act to actually get involved, but they've been reticent over many, many years to become involved, not wishing to upset state rights. I really welcome Ken Wyatt's comments, the Minister's comments here. I think it's setting a new period. If with COAG or the new system that's now in place of the state's group meetings with the Prime Minister, we can actually start looking at the values of our heritage. And we've got to remember that it's cultural heritage, it's Aboriginal heritage, but it is the only heritage that Australia has. Okay. And we should genuinely respect and worship that.
Robin Chappell, thanks for joining us again on Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Robin Chappell is a Greens MLC in WA. We did invite the Treasurer and the Aboriginal Affairs Minister, Ben Wyatt, onto the program, also BHP and the Bunjumna Aboriginal Corporation, but all declined. In a statement, BHP says, "We speak regularly with the Bunjumna community and have reiterated our commitment to working closely with them through the life cycle of the South Flank development to minimise impacts on cultural heritage." And we'll put that full statement and the statement from the State Minister on our website.